Thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If you have a Bible with you this morning, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 10? We're going to read from verse 46 to 52 today. But here, recently in church, God's been so good to us, hasn't he? The past few weeks, it's been really, really precious in the presence of God. There's been something that seemed to be stirring in the room, which has been brilliant. And here, I hope you've enjoyed it as well. But as I've reflected over the last couple of weeks, there has been a real undercurrent of our services. And I would say it's been summed up in the word prayer. It wasn't something as a leadership that we sat down and said, hey, everyone preach on prayer this month. It wasn't that. I'm convinced it is the beautiful Holy Spirit that is just asking us and each different individual who's preaching it to preach on this. And so a couple weeks ago, Ross preached on prayer and he stirred the room with a bit of faith saying, come on, let's keep going. Let's keep praying for our loved ones. Let's keep praying for our family members. A few weeks back, I preached on intercessory prayer. And it seemed to stir something and loads of conversation, which is amazing. We need to see more intercessors rising in the room. And then last week, Mark preached on prayer. And he brought loads of different aspects of prayer, which really challenged and encouraged this room. And there seems to be this beautiful undercurrent that the Lord is doing in this season of prayer. And whenever you read your Bible, you will notice whenever it repeats something, it's almost like Jesus or God shouting at you saying, here, like, pay attention to this. And I think when he repeats something of prayer, and it's a consistent thing within the church, I think he's trying to get our attention that here, prayer is really important in this season. And the last couple of weeks on prayer, it has been almost another arrow that you can go and use to your bow. It's something for us to take out and to put into our lives. This morning's probably be a bit different. We're going to talk about prayer, but it's not a prayer that you'll probably go and like pour into your life, but it's for you this morning. We, as been said, we want to pray for some people in the room this morning, not because our prayers are impressive. Let me like kill that straight away. But let me also like put all my cards on the table. I am convinced in the one that we're praying to. Like I am. I'm convinced that he wants to heal some people. I'm convinced that he wants to fill some people. I'm convinced he wants to restore some things this morning. And so this prayer that we're going to talk around this morning, this prayer for healing and restoration and for more of God, isn't something that you'll maybe take away and put into your life, but it's something for the here and now. And so this morning we have this incredible opportunity. And I really have faith, and I hope you have faith this morning. I have faith for healing and restoration and for family situations to turn and for God to just break in to our lives again. And I wonder, is that where we all are? Or has our expectation of God almost like shrunk a wee bit? And we've just became a bit too content and became a bit too familiar with where we're at. And how many times is that me? Almost like begging God becomes something that I don't do. I just become a bit okay with where I'm at. And it comes to this question this morning that I have to ask myself, and I pose it to you from my title, is this: how much do you really want it? Like, how much do you really want it? There's a football player, don't want to bring up football loads of time. I hate this team, so I'll hate a strong word, but Chelsea. Anyone support Chelsea? One person, two people, three people maybe, I don't know, sorry about that. We'll pray for you using the prayer line as well. There's a player called Didier Drogba, who was one of the best strikers in the Premier League. But his story, I want to share a brief moment of it. He grew up playing football a wee bit, but he got loads of injuries when he was a kid and when he was a teenager, and he moved countries all of the time. And so his growth was completely like stunted. He wasn't that good. He wasn't that impressive. Loads of people said to him, here, mate, you're never going to make it. There's no point even trying anymore. This isn't for you. You're far too behind. You'll never get here. But when he got to his early 20s, he made a decision that he really wanted to play football professionally. Like, he was going to, this was his life's goal. And so he started working really hard. He trained every day relentlessly. He had the right things. He played for some very small teams and performed at a high level. And just year after year seemed to get a move. And he worked harder than everybody else. There was something within him that was just desiring this more than anything else. He just really wanted it. And when he was in his mid-20s, he got a move to a big team in France called Marseille. in that season. It wasn't like, here, I've made it. I'm content with where I am. I've got my move. I've got my impressive football team. But it says in Marseille that he worked harder than everybody else. He put more time in the training ground than anyone else. That he wanted this more than anyone else. And after a breakout season there, he got his move to Chelsea. And he went on later to perform for Chelsea and win the Champions League, one of the biggest trophies in football. He scored the equaliser and he scored the winning penalty. One of the most significant nights in Chelsea's history. See, loads of people told him he was never going to make it. Loads of people said, here, you should just stop before you're at. And then I'm sure when he got to Marseille, people have said, you've made it now. You've achieved all you need to achieve. But there was something within him that really wanted this, like really wanted it. And so it pushed him to step out of his comfort zone, to go to the place that almost was more costly than everyone else. And he reaped the benefit. He reaped the reward. And I think for some of us, and here, let me speak just about me this morning, and hopefully it connects with you. I have been far too familiar and far too content with where I'm at. Like, I've been in meetings like this, and I am convinced I've missed out on what God wants to do. I've been in meetings where I've just worshipped God and thought, here, what's for lunch? Or I've been in meetings where, here, everything feels okay and I'm in a good space and I've just sort of said, here, I'm good. Probably the other people around me need this. And I'm convinced I've missed out on God because I've been far too content and far too familiar with where I am at. And so this morning I challenged myself, as I was praying this morning, I challenged myself, how much do I really want this? How much do you really want this? Because when I read the Bible and I understand the heart of God, this is the heart of God, to heal his children, to move, to fill, to restore. This is the heart of God. And so I think if we want this morning, God would meet us in that want. Let's read from verse 46 to 52. It says this in my Bible. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, with his disciples together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting at the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Father God, I thank you this morning that your word is alive and it is active. We thank you that this is the best thing that we'll hear all morning because it's your word. And I just pray, God, would you pierce the hearts and the minds of people in this space with your word, not my words, not what I think. But God, I pray there would be something of you that would stir faith in this room this morning, that there'd be a real desire for what you want to do in this space this morning, that you would ruffle us from a place of contentment, God, that we would just desire more of you and experience and more of you, God, and you would do something this morning that would mark us for the rest of our days. Come, Holy Spirit, and be with us, we ask in your name. Amen. This is sort of just after a passage where James and John come to Jesus and basically ask to sit on either side of him in a throne in heaven. It's this interesting passage just before this. And Jesus' answer to this passage and previous is really interesting. It's not that he just completely shuts them down straight away and says, I can't believe you asked me this. But he follows it with an example. He says this. He says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life for a ransom for many. You see, Jesus in this verse, just previous to what we read, counters pride and counters this desire of status with this exampled humility that says, here, even me, I have come to serve. And we see then this polar opposite response. We see this disciples almost, in our terms, ask for glory and ask for recognition, ask for status of a throne beside Jesus. And then we see what we've just read, this blind man called Bartimaeus asking for mercy. We see these polar opposite questions just a few verses after each other. And I think this is a really helpful spot for us to start this morning. Before I get into some points, before I try and unpack this a wee bit, I wonder if we started at this space. Like, what do we want? Like, what are we asking God for this morning? What is the deepest cry of our heart this morning? Are we a wee bit like the disciples that are asking things of like, can I have status and recognition? Can I be more known? Can I be more seen? Can I have more power? Can I have more influence? Or are we asking, here Rabbi, I want to see. Ask for mercy. I wonder where our hearts are. Because as I said, I am convinced of the Lord already, because we know him when we read his word, that he wants to come in power, and he wants to restore, and he wants this, he wants to heal, and he wants to fill, because that is who he is. Yet us this morning, do we really want that? Are we okay to step out of our comfort zone to receive it? Are we okay to go past the routine of what always church looks like to get it? Are we okay with this if it actually changes us forever? Is that how much we really want it? Like, do we really want it this morning? Because I think if we really want it, and I really want it, and you really want it, then I think it starts with how Bartimaeus started. I think it starts with crying out. And that's my first point this morning, cry out. It says the first couple of verses again. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting at the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And here, it's a blind man at the side of the road. So here, we're aware that he knows it's a crowd, because you can imagine the footsteps of a large crowd coming towards you. He would recognize the multitude of people there. Even though he couldn't see them physically, he would all recognize the amount of people by the noise of the conversation, of the footsteps beside him. And I would say we all probably share the same thing, that nobody likes all eyes on you. This is a bit awkward for me, because I say that and all your eyes are on me. But we don't really like our attention, like people focusing us on our attention, or your attention on us. Like if you were in the middle of a supermarket, or you were in the middle of like town, and you did something and everybody just looked at you, you would feel awkward. No one likes that feeling of everyone looking at you. And so this moment of Bartimaeus, he has to weigh it up, doesn't he? He's aware of the crowd. He's aware there's a multitude of people, probably people who walk past him all the time, probably people who recognize him as just this blind beggar. But in this moment, he needs to become aware of what's at stake, because when he becomes aware that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is there, something really changes, something real happens, and he weighs it up. If I shout, people will hear me and look at me, but Jesus is there. Jesus is there. Everyone may turn around. People may say something to me. People may be negative, but Jesus is there. Like, that guy, I'm convinced, can change my life. He's there. Like, is it worth it? And for me, if I'm honest, this would probably be the moment of hesitation. I probably wouldn't want, like, what would they say about me? Or imagine I shouted out and he didn't hear me. I just look so silly. Imagine if he shouted out and he told me to be quiet because he doesn't really care that much about me. I'm just this guy on the side of the road. It would probably make me be like, here, I will stay silent. It's this just fear of what people would say. It's fear of what people would maybe say behind your back. It's the fear of what if nothing happens. It's the fear of all of this that sort of would keep me quiet. And I wonder for us this morning, when it comes even to prayer lines at the front of church, how many times does fear keep us in our seats? Here, because what if nothing happens? Here, what if like I walk up and all the people that I just walk past are talking about me? What if like people start talking behind my back when I leave here? How many times does fear keep us from a move of God? But this is the dilemma that Bartimaeus obviously makes the decision in his mind. See, if Bartimaeus stays silent, he stays blind. If he stays silent, he stays blind. And so he said, this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, here, I don't care who hears me. I actually don't care what they say. I don't care if they talk behind my back. This guy, Jesus of Nazareth, is here, and I know he can cure me. And if he listens to fear, he misses out. But because he doesn't, he sees God. See, how many times is that us? God moving. God at the front of a church. God in our pews. God asking us to take a step out of our comfort zone. Yet fear restrains it. Fear whispers, don't you dare cry out. Here, they'll make fun of you. Don't do that. But the Bible says something remarkable in verse 48. many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. See, if I would have had the guts, first of all, to cry out to this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, this would be the moment I would just be quiet. This would be the moment I wouldn't go any further. People tell me to be quiet. People making fun of me. Who are you? He doesn't want to talk to you. Be quiet. Why are you speaking out? Jesus is on his way to do something important. You're not important. You'd take him out of his way. Imagine all of this. And I love what it says after. But he shouted all the more. He shouted all the more. He refuses to let any fear of man steal this moment. He refuses to allow anything to hinder him from this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, from hearing him and healing him. You see, when he cried out, it wasn't about who heard him in the sense of what people would say, but it was all about that he was completely convinced in the one he was calling to. He was completely convinced, if this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, could come and see me, my life will get changed. And I wonder how convinced are we of that this morning? You know the things that you carry into this space that no one really knows about? Or the things that maybe people do know about? How convinced are you this morning? How convinced am I this morning that we could actually walk out free? And we could walk out healed? And we could walk out restored? Again, not because of impressive prayers. We're not impressive people. But because he is here. How convinced are we of the one that Bartimaeus called upon? Because these are the type of prayers that we hear in Scripture. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me. And I will answer you and tell you the great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from their troubles. Hebrews 4:16, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is what Bartimaeus does. He approaches him with confidence and with boldness, not caring about who was in the space, who was seeing him, totally focusing this guy, Jesus, knowing he could change my life. And then verse 49, Jesus stopped. Because he cried out, Jesus stopped. Out of the entire crowd on his journey that he had to go on and all the busyness of what Jesus was doing and everything that he was going to go on and do, one blind beggar called Bartimaeus calls out and Jesus stops. You see, I'm convinced if Jesus would stop for this blind beggar who called in his name, I'm convinced that he will stop in this space this morning and he will meet you where you're at if you call upon him, because this is who he is. Let me tell you a story, and this isn't one of healing in the sense that we would be aware of, but as I was preparing, the Lord really brought it back to me. One of my best friends growing up was a guy called Jack. Jack's been to our church once, which is great. He's currently traveling around the world. He's not real. He's coming back to Jesus at the minute, which is awesome. But I was 16 and Jack's mum got diagnosed with cancer, really terminal stage 4 cancer, and there was no hope for her. And this isn't the story that she was healed of cancer, so don't be thinking of that. But I mean, like, we cried out to God. Like, I mean, we really did. We had prayer meetings in my house and in Jack's house. We had prayer meetings in our youth ministry, and we cried out, and we cried out, and we cried out, and nothing seemed to be happening. And then Jack one day came to us in a prayer meeting just that we had organized ourselves, and he says he felt like God had said to him and just brought it to his attention that physical healing, although it is crucial and we think God can do it, my mom doesn't love Jesus, he said. He needs to heal her spiritually. He needs to. He really needs to. And so for months and months, our prayer sort of shifted a wee bit from physical healing to spiritual healing. And nothing seemed to work. Constantly nothing seemed to work. There was no conversations that seemed to bring any light. And I remember standing at Relentless in August and the whole youth ministry were around Jack. And I mean, there was floods of tears on everyone's face, just crying and crying and crying. And we're just like, God, would you move? We're crying out to him. And then 4 days before Jack's mom passed away, he went in to visit her. And his mom said, son, I've given my life to Jesus. And he got to pray with his mom. And his mom, with Jack having the security of hope, is in heaven with her Savior, with no more pain and no more sickness. You see, I am convinced, church, when we cry out to God, he really does hear and he really does answer. This is the God that we serve, not a God that is dead or is dormant, but a God who is alive and is wanting to move. And so what might happen this morning if we cry out? Not politely, not cautiously, but full of faith, believing that when we cry out that he will hear us, because I am convinced he wants to move. I wonder if the miracle doesn't start with the prayer ministry. I wonder if the miracle starts in this moment where you say, here, I'm crying out this morning for him. I'm crying out for that situation. I'm crying out for my back pain. I'm crying out for my eyesight. I'm crying out for that diagnosis that I got. I'm crying out for that mental health struggle that I'm walking through. I'm crying out for it this morning. And God, I'm convinced you're going to meet me. I wonder if we cried out. And my second point this morning is this. When he calls, you run. When he calls, you run. And here, I don't like running as much as the next person. But when he calls, we run. It says this in verse 49. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Notice the movement of the passage. Bartimaeus doesn't stay seated. He doesn't wait up here, well, go to him. It's like, maybe. He doesn't cautiously approach him and think, oh, did he really mean me? Like, is this really for me? No, he throws his cloak to the side. And here, the Bible never, ever puts something in there that doesn't matter. And so throwing the cloak to the side is really, really important here. Because remember, Bartimaeus is this blind beggar. This cloak would have probably been the source of his heat, keeping him warm at night as he is begging for coins. This, to him, could have been one of the most valuable things that he actually owned in his possessions. But I would love you to catch this. Bartimaeus understood the worth of his blanket and his cloak, whatever you want to call it. But he knew what this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, was going to give him was far more of worth than this cloak. And so what he does is he throws it. He throws it and he comes to this guy, Jesus, and he knows that his security and everything that he will ever need will be met in this man, Jesus. And so this morning, I wonder if we're holding on to some things that are keeping us back. I wonder this morning if the Lord's asking you, just here, throw it to the side. Come to me, I will be all that you need. See, the thing that once sustained Bartimaeus, this cloak, this thing getting warm, he now found all that he needed in Jesus. You see, following Jesus always seems to require, right through the Bible, this sort of costly movement. It always seems to require us doing something. He's made the first step from going to the cross and giving us away, but it always requires something of us. Matthew 11, verse 28, probably a passage that a lot of people in the room would be familiar with. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Notice the language, come to me. You see, rest is promised in this, but it requires action. You see, healing is offered, but it requires movement. The invitation of Jesus and everything is never passive. It's not just stay in your seat and you'll get it. It's come to me. There's something that Jesus is desperate for you to come to him. He is jealous for you. He wants you. And when we go, he meets us. James 4 says, verse 8 says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. There always seems to be this step on our side that we need to make. But every time we make it, he meets us. It's even that sort of example of DDA Drogba that I shared at the start. Here, everybody told him, you're never going to make this. You're never going to do this. Yet he wanted it more than anyone else, and so he made the steps. He trained the hardest. He worked the hardest. He took the opportunities. He said yes to the things people didn't want to say yes to. He'd done the things that were difficult so that he could achieve the goal. You see, I wonder how many times does our opportunities require decisive movement, yet we like to stay stationary because it's more comfortable and it's more familiar and it's more safe. But I don't think following Jesus is safe. I think it's a life of risk. I think it's a life of boldness. I think it's a life of stepping out of our comfort zone and seeing the Lord just meet us where we're at. You see, when Jesus calls you, we cannot sit comfortably. We cannot stay stationary. If Bartimaeus sits on the roadside with his cloak and says, I shouted out for you, God. And Jesus says, come, and he thought, here, at least I cried out for it. He stays blind. See, there's action after crying out that is required in some of this stuff. Bartimaeus cries out. The Lord hears him and he says, come. And so he throws the cloak and he goes to him because he's convinced in the person he's going to. A.W. Tozer says this quote, so short but so beautiful and so simple. God waits to be wanted. God waits to be wanted. And there's a church in New York, which is a brilliant church called Church of the City, New York, led by a guy called John Tyson. And their familiar language that they use is, God comes where he's wanted. God comes where he's wanted. God waits to be wanted. Like, how much do we really want him this morning? Like, how much do we really want him to move in our lives? Like, how much are we desperate for healing this morning? How much are we desperate for more of him this morning? Because Bartimaeus showed how desperate he was. He throws his only sort of source of value to the floor to meet him. He really wanted it. He runs to him. And I wonder what it would look like this morning if that's how we respond. Imagine it isn't just like one or two people come to the front and it's lovely and God meets you. But imagine there's congestions in the aisles because we're just desperate to get to this guy, Jesus, because we're fully convinced that he will meet us. Again, we'll say so clearly, not because our prayers are impressive, but because he is here. I'm fully convinced if you come, truly come, something will happen. Quite often when you meet Jesus, you cannot leave the same. You see, Bartimaeus ran towards Jesus blind and walked away seeing. Oh, and this morning, what a prophetic picture that could be for you this morning. That you ran towards him this morning carrying this or carrying that, but you walked away free. You ran this morning to him sick, but you walked away healthy. You ran to him this morning a bit lukewarm, but you ran away, walked away on fire for him. See, the question isn't this morning whether he's calling you. It's really, really clear in the Bible he is calling you to come. The question is this morning for me and for you. What will you do with this call? What will you do with it? What will you do with this call? Like, how much do we really want it? My last point is faith in the one that never changes. Faith in the one that never changes. In verse 51 to 52 of this passage, it says this. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received sight and followed Jesus along the road. See, it's this remarkable moment. What do you want? Rabbi, I want to see you. It isn't fluffed up. It isn't like beating around the bush. It is clear. It is his biggest and his greatest need is he cannot see. He says, Rabbi, I want to see. He had already pushed past the voices. He had already ran to Jesus. His already letter cost him something. But it was this moment that faith came into play. And you see, notice that his faith wasn't in the crowd. It wasn't that here, everyone's going to see this, so he'll definitely do it. His faith wasn't in like himself of like what he has done to get there. His faith was in Jesus. And do we have faith this morning that he is the same? Because how much do we really want it? Because faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is in confidence in who Jesus is. It says in my Bible, and it'll say in yours in Hebrews 13:8, that he is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he meets a blind man on the road to Jericho, then he will meet you here this morning. The same Jesus who opened the eyes of the blind can restore you in this space this morning. Throughout scripture, there seems to be this pattern of faith that God seems to always honor the faith of his people. Matthew 9, there's a story of two blind men that come to Jesus and he asks them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they say yes, and he touches their eyes, and Jesus' response is this, according to your faith, let it be done. Like, do we have faith for this morning? Am I the only one excited about this morning? Because when you read the Bible, and I read the Bible, and you experience the things of God, how could we not be excited? Because he wants to move, and he wants to change lives. You see, people are constantly brought to this moment in front of Jesus. Do you believe that I am who I say I am? Do you believe? Where is your faith at? And so this morning, where is our faith? Like, where is it? Is it here? Because he will meet and he will honor faith in this room. Like, do we have enough faith that we'll bring the place that we don't have healing in just yet to him at the altar? Like, do we have enough faith this morning that we will come to him and we will present the need? Like, do we have enough faith that we will speak to him and say, here, Jesus, I'm not where I want to be right now in following you. I want to be further than that. Because if we do, our faith is not built in circumstances. It's not built in our sickness. It's not built in the season of difficulty we're in with our families. It's not built in all of these things. Our faith, and if this is new to you, I'm sorry, but our faith is not built in this church. Our faith is not built in my preaching. Our faith is not built in our worship team. Our faith is built in Jesus Christ. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he is here and he wants to move. It isn't faith that life is easy and it's not difficult. It isn't faith that things are confusing. It is faith in the one who is still the miracle worker. The one who opened the eyes of the blind is here to move. I have seen Jesus do things in my life that here I could sit with you for an hour and just rhyme off things. I've seen limbs grow. I have seen sickness disappear. I've seen mental health disorders go. We have seen things in youth ministry that we could rhyme off here. You see, he is in the business of healing people still. He is in the business of saving people and restoring people still. They all reveal who he is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we come to pray this morning, I'd love Johnny and Adele to join me. Let me ask you a couple more times, because it's where I feel like God wants me to be. Like, how much do you really want it? I can't have faith for you. I can't come for you. But do you want him enough to cry out, to run towards him? See, because Bartimaeus doesn't whisper quietly, trying to make sure the crowd don't hear him. He shouts, and he gets rebuked. Be quiet, mate. And he shouts even louder because he's convinced in the one he's crying to. He doesn't just walk slowly. He doesn't cautiously approach this guy, Jesus, but he throws his cloak, and he says, I'm getting there. I'm getting to him. If he's called me, I'm getting to him, because I know I'm leaving differently after I meet him. And this is the invitation this morning. To come to Jesus. It isn't to come to elders who will pray. It is to come to Jesus. We get this incredible privilege to pray for you on behalf, but it is the power of God that moves. The invitation isn't to stay seated or to stay comfortable, but it is to come to the one who heals and restores and transforms. Ephesians 3:20. I have probably said it more times than I should, but I will never get sick and tired of saying this verse. But it says this: now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Could you fathom that this morning? Do you know the thing that you've been crying out for that's not happened yet? That God wants to do immeasurably more than you could even think or imagine. I wonder if it was this morning. I wonder if it was on to this date today. I wonder if it was on this random Sunday morning in Ballymoneyhealham that people got healed and people got restored and financial situations turned around because we prayed and difficulties at home turned around because we prayed and here cancer diagnosis is turned around because we prayed, or that thing that the doctor said on behalf of someone else that you stood in the gap and we prayed and it turned around. Imagine people came forward a bit lukewarm, a bit discontented and following Jesus in this season, and ran away more on fire for the things of God than they ever have been in their lives. I wonder if that was this morning. I wonder if we truly believe that, how many would come. Are we convinced of him like Bartimaeus was? Because the truth is, if we meet Jesus this morning, like, we will never be the same again. That is the invitation. So one more time, let me ask you this. How much do you really want it? How much do you really want him? How much do you really want it? We're going to pray for some people this morning, the elders and wives are going to come forward and pray. And we would love to see God heal some people, and that is, please come forward for that. But I really wanted to be open in this space. I don't want it to feel restrictive. I want to sort of cast the net wide instead of specific, because I think there's loads of people in this room who really need to get some prayer. And I think we don't do this enough. I don't think we value this maybe enough. But this morning, if you don't feel like you're following Jesus the way you should, and you just want to be on fire for God, let us pray for you. If you're carrying a sickness or an illness or a mental illness that maybe you've said or you haven't said, come and let us pray for you. If you've got a sick family member or there's a really difficult situation happening on behalf of someone else that you want to come and stand in the gap for, come and let us pray for you. Here, don't miss it this morning. Don't allow the fear of man to keep you in your seat. Don't allow the sort of past times that you've came forward and nothing's happened keep you in your seat. Trust him this morning. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to do the immeasurably more. The same guy who opened the eyes of Bartimaeus wants to change and shape and move in your lives. And so as I pray, in a couple of moments, I'm going to invite you to come forward. Would you stand with me as we pray? Love you to close your eyes. I want you to think about even a situation or a circumstance that you really need God to move in. God, I thank you this morning that you're here. I thank you this morning that you're close. And God, I just ask this morning that you would visit us in your power. God, I pray for testimonies that would come from mornings like this because people were willing to cry out. They were willing to run to you. And you met them where they are at. God, I pray that sickness would go in the name of Jesus. I pray for bones or body, things in our bodies, God, would go in the name of Jesus. I pray that financial situations that maybe people haven't talked about would go in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that people who are a bit lukewarm in this season, Father God, would be more on fire for the things of God than they ever have in their lives this morning. God, not that we could say how impressive that we are, not so that we could sort of steal any glory, but so that you would be honored and adored and pursued from this church, God, that you would be moving in this space so that we would move and we would serve and we would live for you all the days of our lives. And so, God, start faith this morning. God, what would it look like if it wasn't the ones and twos, but it was the many? What would you want to do this morning? Come by your power, Lord, we ask. In your name.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.